Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hyperthetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hyperthetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hyperthetical, Hyperthetical.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from spoopy spells to slurping slimes. And today we're talking about shadows and scarecrows.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How are you doing today?
It's spooky times again.
It is.
I'm so excited. My kid is already, it's September when we're recording these, but my kid is already wearing Halloween shit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm very stoked. It's basically Halloween in my house already.
That's awesome.
Good times.
I love Halloween, and I love horror movies. I like horror games. And
you got a favorite horror movie, Will?
Ooh, a favorite horror movie.
Or a classic that you put on often?
I think Poltergeist is a classic I like to watch. It's a good movie.
Is that Stephen King?
No, it's a Steven Spielberg movie, though.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg. It's one of those Steves.
It's one of the Stevens.
Thank you, blessed Steves.
I don't know. Like, off the top of my head, like, there's so many bad ones. Like, I like the
there's
Evil Dead
so
series.
Many bad ones. Yeah. Those end up being, like, parodies later on, right?
Yeah.
Like, they kind of change as they go.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember enjoying The Grudge when I was in high school. That came out then.
I throw on Shaun of the Dead. Which
I love
like
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
I love Shaun of the Dead.
Great movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hot Fuzz is pretty good, too. But
Hot Fuzz is also solid.
Yeah.
I love it.
Shaun of the Dead's where it's at for me.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about shadows and scarecrows.
Spooky
and,
stuff.
We're going to start with shadows. And this is actually one of my favorite of the spooky monsters in D&D. And I have some ideas that I have always wanted to do with these guys, but I've never done it. But
okay.
We'll get into it. So,
how do you kill a shadow?
It's a great question.
They address some of the shadow lore, like shadow physics, fantasy physics, in Peter Pan.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah.
So, lurking in the Shadowfell are many strange and dark monsters. Foremost among these threats are shadows, flickering motes of darkness that subsist on the shadows cast by living creatures or their life force. Depending on the edition you are playing, the lore depicts them as either incorporeal undead or dark and mysterious natives to the Shadowfell born from the plane itself.
Ooh.
Although, as we've discussed in the Shadowfell episode long ago, the Shadowfell was inherently tied to undeath, so why not both?
Yeah, long ago.
Long ago. Yeah, that was a while back.
Yeah. I like the Shadowfell, though.
Yeah, the Shadowfell is inherently tied. Oh, yeah, I read that. Regardless of the type, category, or keyword of these monsters, their appearance and behavior is pretty much identical across all editions. Shadows, though sentient creatures, seem to be nothing more than patches of mobile gloom, more or less humanoid in shape. They are creatures of sentient darkness, hating life and light with equal fervor. These chaotic evil entities are the cause of much fear, death, and dark tales among the humanoid societies of Dungeons & Dragons, and they're most infamous for their life-draining touch, which bestows a painful chill of non-existence.
Cool, okay.
So as one would imagine, D&D shadow looks pretty much identical to a mundane shadow cast by a humanoid, with the exception of being a deep, dark blackness, regardless of any light source present.
Okay. You guys know shadows, right?
You know shadows?
You guys have seen shadows?
Everyone's got one of those, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because of this, a shadow can be difficult to see in dark or gloomy areas, but stands out starkly in brightly illuminated places.
You guys know shadows, right? You guys know how shadows work?
I knew we were going to have this discussion. Yes, they look like fucking shadows, but I have to pad the episode, so here we go. And the shadow can disguise itself in a 2D silhouette against the surface or hide within any mundane shadow. It can also raise itself off of surfaces and exist in a 3D space.
Okay, cool. So it can be like a hologram, pretty much.
It can
much.
Be like an actual
like a
thing.
Ghost?
Yeah, like a ghost, kind of, yeah.
All right.
The image of the 5e Monster Manual appears to be a shadow disguised as a shadow of a man rising up from behind the man and strangling him to death.
Dope.
Which is cool if you want to look that up. A shadow can move through any a shadow can move through any space at least an inch wide, making escaping them extremely difficult. A shadow is 5 to 6 feet tall and is weightless.
Well, is it always 5 to 6 feet tall? I mean, if it's like imitating.
Well, when it's in its form, it can't imitate anything.
Oh.
Necessarily. Does that make sense?
Kinda. Like I get what you mean. So it has a static form.
It has a static form. But it can squeeze through spaces like cracks under doors and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. Like shadow.
But it can't like change its shape at will.
Okay, so it can't be like I'm imitating a bunny today or like, changeling.
No, it can't. Not anything I read, nothing said that. So
it just looks like a creepy person.
A shadow of a human man.
This art kind of looks like a Dementor a little bit.
It's Dementorish.
Cloak in black. Yeah. That sort of thing. It's got creepy, you know, claw hands. I wonder how much of this is like kind of exaggerated for the art of the book. There's one that looks like this is very creepy. Is that 5e?
That looks custom. That looks like,
yeah. Actually, that's not even a shadow. I don't know. This is something I don't know.
Yeah, that looks like some dark phantom specter from the void.
Good on them for catching my eye, though. But I do see the kind of this dude getting strangled is like the key thing I should be looking at. So it's more like a I'm getting like a Slenderman but a little thicker. The kind of, so not the Slenderman, the thicker man.
Thicker man.
Man. Or No Face, but without the mask.
Yeah, No Face is definitely more Ghibli, like a shadow, yeah. From Spirited Away.
Spirited Away.
If anyone's not seen that movie, see it. It's a masterpiece.
It's very good. No Face. Everybody's seen No Face pretty
no
much.
No Face is the best. So natural enemies of all that live, shadows are aggressive and predatory in nature. They are quick to strike and make short work of those unprepared to deal with them. From the darkness, a shadow reaches out to feed on a living creature's vitality. They can consume any living creature, but they are especially drawn to creatures untainted by evil. It is said that a creature that lives a life of goodness and piety consigns its basest impulses and strongest temptations to the darkness where the shadows hunger. Mm. Now, that doesn't actually make sense. I've looked at this sentence many times.
You said a lot of words.
This was a quote, and I think it was from the 3.5 Monster Manual or possibly from one of the books, from one of the older books.
You know, the D&D books.
Yeah, you know, those ones that I have to read to do these episodes. and I took this quote because, like, I felt like it sounded good and, like, it's explaining, like, why the shadows prefer good people. But if you really read it, it doesn't make fucking sense.
No. I mean, you said it aloud, so I only got it the one time. And I was
read it again if you want.
It sounds like I'm going to get eaten when you say it. So, like, I think it came across the way it was supposed
one more time.
To, right?
Okay. So, it is said that a creature that lives a life of goodness and piety consigns its basest impulses and strongest temptations to the darkness where the shadows hunger. Well, if you're consigning...
Did I do that? Are you sure?
If you're consigning these things to the darkness where the shadows hunger, well, then I guess they're eating their fill already, right? None of that makes sense. Moving on.
Okay.
As the shadow drains his victim's strength and physical form, the victim's shadow darkens and begins to move of its own volition.
Mm.
In death, the creature shadow breaks free, becoming a new undead shadow hungry for more life to consume. So this is get killed by one, become one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
This makes them extremely dangerous as a single shadow can theoretically very quickly wipe out an entire town as one becomes two become four become eight and so on until there are none left alive for the shadows to consume.
Word of mouth is very powerful. So tell someone about the Dungeon Cast. Become our shadows.
Become our shadows, please. It is said that the number of shadows in the world is increasing every year, almost as if a powerful force is driving them. None are yet to uncover the power behind them, though, so perhaps the shadows' increasing presence is only a product of their propagation.
It's probably somebody working from
the shadows.
Nice. That wasn't planned or scripted.
No, it super wasn't.
Good cues.
If a creature from which a shadow has been created somehow returns to life, its undead shadow will sense their return. The undead shadow might seek its parent.
Fuck! No! No!
In order to vex...
Cannot be!
The undead shadow might seek its quote-unquote parent in order to vex or slay them. Whether the shadow pursues its living counterpart or not, the creature that birthed the shadow no longer casts one until the monster is destroyed.
Oh, man. Okay.
So if you're killed by a shadow, but then revived later, you don't have a shadow until your shadow out there dies.
Like even a regular shadow. Like you just don't cast
a shadow. Yeah, you just don't cast a shadow.
A shadow.
Exactly.
And that's how you know.
That's
it's
how
like,
you
know. Oh, fuck Jimmy.
Yeah, you got a shadow out there.
Oh, Jimmy. And now you're just setting up a shotgun at your door every night.
I know,
night.
Waiting for it to come find you. Yeah. Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah. You see other people, you're firing your crossbow bolts into other people's shadows, like all paranoid and shit.
I like that. So shadows travel in loosely organized packs that freely roam ancient ruins, graveyards, and dungeons. But they have no leaders and thus spend much of their time roaming aimlessly about their chosen surroundings.
Okay.
Sometimes a shadow
may... It's a random encounter monster in a graveyard.
Yeah, yeah, basically. All right. Sometimes a shadow may ally with a creature that offers them the chance to slay living foes, such as like evil wizards, devotees to dark gods, and evil humanoid tribes working with shadows, though they view creatures as unreliable, because they are.
Yeah, they're like, hey, dude, I'm hunting some adventurers. You want to come kill one?
Yeah, exactly.
I need a friend. I'm so lonely.
Shadows have consistently shown that alliances and gods hold little sway over them. A shadow fights alongside a mortal because the relationship is convenient, not because the creature shares any sense of service or duty. Although few mortals traffic in shadow magic, also known as necromancy, those who do follow that perilous practice gain the ability to command shadows. Shadows are eager to serve such mortals, as if the shadows know a horrid secret that their mortal master cannot comprehend.
Okay, so this is just like... they're writing stuff that sounds scary so that you can fill in the
exactly,
blanks.
Yeah. So shadows hate bright light and radiate energy is lethal to them. In a shadow's eyes, the world is a web of darkness pierced by annihilating light. Previous to 5e, they had no particular weakness to daylight other than the light's ability to reveal their presence, but now have sunlight sensitivity. The creature's reliance on stealth and darkness keeps them confined to dungeons and other dark places.
Okay.
Any questions about shadows, Brian?
Can I play one?
You mean as like a character?
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on your DM. I mean,
yeah,
I would
the
try
answer
and make
is,
it work.
Because the answer is always yes, but it's how, right?
Yeah, like how are you going to do this? It? You're not going to level up like a normal character.
I got it. Sunglasses.
You hunger for life.
Sunglasses.
No.
Sunglasses.
No. You need like a cloak for sure.
Okay.
Heavy
and
cloak.
Sunglasses?
And a mask probably.
Okay.
And a hunchback and a cane so people just think you're that weirdo.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, the no face mask.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah,
sure,
you exactly. Just actually be no face with the
you
cloak
just
on.
Be no face. Yeah.
I'm a Dementor with a no face mask.
Indeed.
And I wear sunglasses, and I have to kill deer like in Twilight. This is Twilight's coming up a lot, and it's because I got the Pattinson on the mind. Because Batman.
Oh, gotcha.
But it's spooky times. That's a spooky looking Batman. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking I can do this.
Yeah. I wonder if Dark Link is a shadow.
Hey, that's a good. How did they make Dark Link? How do they do? How come there's only one of those bad boys? It must have been hard, right? Because he does. He is like your reflection in the pool.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like the evil.
Well, Shadow Link dates all the way back to Zelda 2.
Oh, you're a Zelda 2 aficionado.
Yeah, that's where Shadow Link is from. Yeah.
Shadow Link is from, but yeah, that in the timeline is that after Ocarina? Or
oh,
before?
It's way after. If you're looking at the actual time, although I thought the timeline was shattered with the Breath of the Wild.
The Be of the Dub, yeah. Well, now there's a third timeline, so don't.
There
trip.
Was three already, so now there's a fourth timeline.
I guess. Okay. Fucking, I don't fucking know.
All right, tell me about the Shadow Stat Block.
Okay, yeah. So, the Shadow is medium, undead, and chaotic evil. With an armor class of 12 and hit points of 16, they have a movement speed of 40 feet. It's nothing to sneeze at.
No, they're quick.
Yeah.
They're
did quick. I read? Last episode, I just realized that I skipped the like regular stats of the Gibbering Mouther. I didn't read like its strength or anything.
Oh, that would have been interesting too.
Sorry. Oh, okay. If you're wondering about the Gibbering Mouther, they're pretty fucking average except for Khan. Anyway.
They just tens across the board.
That's not too far away from it, man. Okay. Bad charisma. Anyway, this is a totally
last
episode.
Let's talk about shadows.
Shadows, they have a strength of 6, which is very bad. Mm-hmm. A dex of 14, so still able to strangle, I guess.
Yeah, just enough.
Just able to grab. You just need enough to get those hands up there. 13 con, 6 intelligence. Just a shout out. I guess it's harder to play this guy than I thought.
Yeah.
Not with the new Tasha rules.
They just like to kill.
Wisdom is 10, and charisma is 8.
Yeah.
So the skills, stealth plus 4 or plus 6 in dim light or darkness. Nice flavor. It's hard to keep track of those little tiny pluses, though. Mm-hmm. Damage vulnerabilities, radiant.
Yeah. And I'm so not used to keeping track of like pluses anymore because 4th edition, they
you
were all over the place.
You did that a ton, right?
That now I'm way worse at keeping track of it because I never do.
Because now it's like stuff like this, stuff where you're like, okay, well, from here out, when you whistle, you trained in whistling, so you get plus blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. That's so difficult. And then like cover. I think you get like plus 3 and 5 from cover.
I was forgetting about that.
Or whatever those numbers are. Damage resistances, acid, cold, fire, lightning, thunder. bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks. So that's pretty beefy.
Yeah, they're actually way stronger than their challenge rating would imply.
Right, yeah, because of that, I think. And you're immune to necrotic and poison.
That's why one of these things can fuck a town up. If a town, like...
Well, if it creates
like,
one.
Just let's say a shadow comes into a town, and it's just your average town, farming town.
Why they the might long have, face? Like, oh, it's because it's 5 in the afternoon.
Right.
Whoa! Okay, sorry.
And the shadow comes in, like, no one's going to be able to stop it. Like, it resists everything. No one's going to even know it's around until it starts killing people.
A townsfolk is going to do, like, 2 damage to this thing tops. Right.
And, again, they won't know it's there until it kills someone. Once it kills someone, now you have 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and once those 2 kill, now you have 4, and already it's out of control.
You're closing
like,
up the barn for the
spiraling,
night.
It's spiraling.
You got a couple people helping
this
you put the horses
up. This whole town
is
done within the week. This is like 30 days of night, but with shadows.
You killed all the strongest people in the horse farm.
Yeah.
And now they're shadows. And they're going to go get the folks, and then they're going to go get the bank.
And I just like this
idea. Have all the money?
I like this idea of like an adventure party rolling into this town that's just deserted. And like you don't see anybody. It just seemed like... everyone just pick up and left, but you keep seeing like movement from the corner of your eye, but it's always in the darkness. And when you go and investigate, you don't see nothing, and you decide like because you're
unless you roll 20,
you decide because you're dumb adventurers to camp in the town square because you know good cover and all that. And when twilight begins to fall, dark shadows start to come out of all the houses.
Yeah,
and you're surrounded by hundreds of shadows. Of course, it's going to be a total party kill, but what a cool story.
6 would-be dudes crawl out of the well.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Comedy spinoff. They get the bank. They get to the bank. Everybody's in the town is dead. Twilight comes the next day. They go into the bank. Mm-hmm. They kill all the money. Now they have twice as much money because you can't kill money, but they did.
Okay, gotcha.
They're rich as fuck.
All right, tell me more about the Shadow Stat Block.
Oh, yeah. We are reading that, aren't we? Yeah. It's a half challenge rating. They don't do language either, just like the Gibbering Mouther. It just says dash. So, yeah, language is dash.
Yeah, they don't do, yeah.
Not dash, like run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Amorphous. The shadow can move through a space as narrow as 1 inch wide without squeezing, like a rat. I think it might be less for a rat. Shadow Stealth. While in dim, light, or darkness, the shadow can take the hide action as a bonus action. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Like a rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Sunlight weakness. While in sunlight, the shadow has disadvantage on attack rolls, ability checks, and saving throws. That'd be a cool item to give a party, like an ampule of sunlight that you break, and it's 10 turns of sunlight.
That would be cool.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Go kill the shadow town.
Yeah.
Actions. Strength drain. Melee weapon attack, +4 to hit. Reach of 5 feet for 1 creature. On a hit, does 9 or 2d6 +2 necrotic damage, and that... and the target's strength score is reduced by 1d4.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So that, I take it that's the big number, the ability score.
Yeah, and when that when
not the modifier.
And when your your strength reaches 0, you die.
Dude, the target dies if this is the next fucking sentence.
Yeah.
The target dies if this reduces its strength to 0.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the reduction lasts until the target finishes a short or long rest. If a non-evil humanoid dies from this attack, a new shadow rises from the corpse 1d4 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take some time for the shadows to take over this town.
1d4 is not that long.
Well, I'm thinking like if you're trying my barn scenario where like there's 4 dudes in there at once, it's going to take the shadow like at least an hour to get another shadow to go do the hunt.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It doesn't have to wait. It can just move on, and then one will crop up.
Think about the way this goes. Okay, so Becky goes out to the farm, gets killed by a shadow.
Ah, Becky.
By morning, there's 2 more shadows, easily, right?
Yeah.
People find Becky's dead. They think she's been murdered, right? They're doing investigations, but no one suspects any foul play yet. 2 more people get murdered the next night. Now you have 4 shadows. People think there's a serial killer. They're not suspecting anything supernatural quite yet.
Yeah, because what is a medical investigation of the body even going to look like?
It looked like it got strangled.
Strangled? Or do you think so? Because strength drain just implies, like, this isn't a grab or a hold. It's just a hit, necrotic damage.
Yeah.
So, like, the life force is being drained. There's no, like, physical...
Yeah, that's
right. You know, it's not putting bruises on
you. You're right. But then once we get to the, now there's 8 shadows,
yes.
I think, now we're suspecting something suspicious, but, like... Eight shadows, no one's gonna figure it out.
By
the next
down.
Night we're at 16. By the next night we're at 32. People are now fleeing town. Good for them because there's gonna be 64 by the next night. And yeah, it just doesn't stop.
Can you imagine talking to like an owl, like speak with animals that watched it all go down?
Right.
And explains it the way first there were 2. Then there were four. Yeah. Then there were 36. And at that point, I stopped counting because it was all over.
Yeah.
And I flew here to the woods.
Then I left.
Yeah.
Let's
you guys should get the fuck out of here.
Let's take a short rest.
All right.
Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga, a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me. Set in space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
Here we have.
Will, I like your shirt, Will.
I like your shirt as well.
You can find merch like the stuff we have. If you're watching on YouTube, you can get merch like me and Will do. Right now, for yourself, your own body could have Super Quest Saga, Dungeon Cast merch. You can get a shirt with Carter Huttenberg on it.
It's true. You can.
You can.
Or Persephone Gold Petal, or Sebastian Crenshaw,
or Agro Primina.
Yeah.
Or Primina Agro Prim. Agro Prim.
Yeah, Agro Prim.
That's the newest character art. Thanks, Bubble Laser. Yeah, shout out to Bubble Laser. Does our Super Quest Saga art.
Yeah.
And not the next episode of this show, but two episodes from now of this show, I'm going to be wearing our Year of the Giant Dungeon Cast t-shirt.
Yeah, I was gonna wear
it. I have one too. In the other room. It's very good. Since we can't wear our What the Grump shirt on here because it gets eaten by my green screen effect.
You ordered all the same shirts I ordered.
I mean, there's a bunch of shirts.
You ordered the same three I ordered.
I'm going to get my Super Quest shirts right next round.
Okay.
Well, I can't just be spending all this money on my own shirts.
All right, let's get back to
although I do love them
stuff.
Very much. Yeah, spooky times.
We got scarecrows.
It's Halloween. I'm actually an expert on scarecrows.
Are you? Tell me about scarecrows.
Fear toxin is a thing. So he puts it in your mouth you breathe it or whatever, and then you remember your dead parents.
Right. No, this is very different.
Oh.
Very, very different.
Okay.
So scarecrows in D&D can be more than a simple straw man put out on a post to scare birds away from crops.
Yeah, I fucking love those things.
Yeah, though they can be disguised to look just as such.
And in one iteration of fantasy, it gets up and is like, I'm dumb as fuck. Let's go make that change.
Brain, even though he's randomly
the fucking smartest one in the squad. So, are they all that much more stupid?
What? These ones?
Does Tin Man have a brain and just like, or not have a brain and just doesn't know he doesn't have a brain?
Maybe.
And the lion's like that an might, animal.
Yeah.
So he doesn't like really.
Yeah, he doesn't come into the equation.
He's just worried about the biceps.
Right, indeed. All right.
And the crown.
So an adventurer the might throne, see bro. A line of scarecrows and assume that a farmer or hunter set them up to mark the edge of his or her territory.
Okay, yeah.
But those savvy in the ways of dark magic, the fey, and even undead spirits might recognize them for the terrifying killer constructs that they are.
This is like a fucking two Netflix original, like Sharknado style. Yes, I love this. It's a movie trailer.
Yeah, at harvest time, when death revisits the twilight world and summer's blossoms bow their withered heads, eerie scarecrows loom in silent vigil over empty fields. With immortal patience, these stoic sentinels hold their posts through wind, storm, and flood, bound to their master's command, eager to terrify prey with its sackcloth visage and rend victims with its razor sharp claws.
The necromancer farmer.
Yeah. Yeah, sure that.
Is it cabbage heads or people heads?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So as one would expect, these creatures have the basic appearance of a mundane scarecrow at first glance.
Hell yeah.
Vaguely humanoid in shape, made of straw sticks and burlap sacks, and outfitted in old dirty basic clothing. Eyes cut out and a mouth stitched into the simulacrum's head, or maybe even a jack-o'-lantern in place of the head. But closer inspection of these creatures can reveal a sinister edge to their design. Those who create scarecrows often outfit their hands and feet with bladed fingers and toes.
Oh, shit.
Their mouths may be equipped with teeth made of metal or bone. Behind their eyes, a malevolent presence can be felt, and from the corners of one's vision, they may detect the hints of movement or a scarecrow's eyes following them as they pass. And once they begin to move, their malevolent intent is undeniable.
Oh, yeah, because you know that... They're either doing like floppy arms and legs and running at you like that with the blades in the end.
Yeah.
Or their whole fucking arm isn't able to wiggle because the whole thing is a sword. And it's just trying to hug you.
The whole thing is
trying to grapple you.
Yeah, sure that. So the various editions of D&D present different origins of creation and nature of scarecrows. Second edition claims that scarecrows are enchanted creatures made from the same materials as normal scarecrows, but are magically animated by using a special manual or by a god answering the plea of a priest employing an animate object spell.
Please, God. Please, God, make my scarecrow kill trespassers on my crops, whether it be birds, aphids, whatever, dog. Yeah. I need it to fucking clean up shop.
Keep these kids out of my
stealing
film.
My damn carrots and potatoes.
The final step of this process is casting a wish. Casting the quest spell is done. That's a typo.
So you want to try again?
The final step of the process is done during a new moon. That's that's the basic of what I was trying to write there. So okay, 4E, yeah. I like this one. 4E loves to make everything fey related, and scarecrows are no different. The 4E Monster Manual 3 states that although people in the material plane play scarecrows to scare off birds, in the Feywild they serve as a dire warning of the consequences of trespass. Unlike the mundane scarecrows of the world, a scarecrow in the Feywild can clamber down from its perch to rip the entrails from anyone foolish enough to ignore it. Hags constructed the first animated scarecrows by weaving them from straw stolen from a farmer at the stroke of midnight, clothes taken from a freshly slain corpse, and thread made from the hair of a nightmare's mane. Years have passed since the creation of these creatures, and now animated scarecrows are common in the world as well as the Feywild.
Cool. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that.
You brought up hags, so there was a... If you want to, sorry for the mid-episode plugs, but if you want to join our Discord, it's a really cool place.
It's a very cool place.
D&D community.
Yeah.
It's got some Dungeon Cast-centric channels, but it's mostly just people talking about their games and their homebrew stuff.
Right.
But I do go into the Dungeon Cast channel, and I'm not super consistent about it, but I ask for our alliterations these days.
Yeah.
It's fun to see what people come up with, and one of them is Veloxity again, coming up with hacky sacking hags. And now I can't think about the hags. Coven without thinking about them like kicking it outside.
I can see what you're talking about. All right. Well, 5e claims the scarecrow is an animated construct given sentience by binding of the spirit of a slain evil creature, granting it both purpose and mobility. It is this uncanny presence from beyond death that allows the scarecrow to inspire fear in those it gazes upon. Hags and witches often bind scarecrows with the spirits of demons themselves, but any evil spirit will do.
Okay.
Although aspects of the spirit's personality might surface, a scarecrow spirit doesn't recall the memories it had as a creature, and its will is focused solely on serving its creator. So normally the process of crafting a scarecrow requires months of careful, precise work. Each stitch, each handful of straw, and each scrap of cloth must be positioned, trimmed, and assembled to serve as a proper vessel for the magic that animates a scarecrow.
Okay, but like normal scarecrowery
are real
like,
easy to put together.
Yeah, you just throw those bad boys up. You need a fucking plaid shirt, some ovies,
exactly.
Some rubber bands.
Yeah, a straw hat. Yeah. Although scarecrows are constructs, they are smarter and wily than golems, homunculi, and other creatures created from the inanimate materials.
Okay, so this one might hide in the crops and come out and poke you.
This cunning is further enhanced by the bond between the scarecrow and its creator. When a scarecrow spots enemies, its creator instantly becomes aware of that fact.
Oh.
When a scarecrow hits a creature with an attack, its creator receives a clear mental image of the foe's appearance and location.
Nice.
The creator sees the target as the scarecrow sees it, though it still cannot distinguish invisible or hidden creatures. The connection between creator and scarecrow makes these creatures ideal sentinels. Powerful hags and ritualists post them as sentinels at the edge of their domains, and they mix them in with mundane scarecrows. You know, you just make it look like they have more.
And because a coven is only going to like get you so many hags, you need to fill out the hacky sack circle with scarecrows.
Exactly.
Right.
If its creator dies, the spirit inhabiting a scarecrow either continues to follow its last commands, seeks revenge for its creator's death, or destroys itself.
Wow.
Any questions about scarecrows, Brian?
These are fucking cool, man.
Yeah, pretty dope.
Like, I know I've been poking a lot of fun at, at these because there's so many ideas.
Yeah.
Like Battle Rager Dwarf or whatever, how they kind of run into you.
Yeah.
Can you imagine one of these with like barbed wire kind of like woven into it? Like underneath it.
That's
and stuff.
Horrifying.
So when it does go for the bear hold, you know,
like
full
that.
Nelson, whatever, half Nelson.
Yeah, sure.
Fame Asser.
I think that's super cool. Super cool idea. You're also saying a lot of words I don't know.
The Fame Asser is a WWE move.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't worry about it. Well, okay, you bend them over. You stun them. You bend them over so they're like crooked at the waist, so they're leaning forward.
Yeah.
And then you just basically do a jump and sit on their head while they're bent over.
I think I know what you're talking
about. And you slam their face into the ground with your butt.
I think that's, man, that sounds deadly. It also reminds me of a scene from The Boys.
One of my players in FBATS does the Fame Asser on people.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, so Scarecrow is a medium construct of chaotic evil with an armor class of 11 and hit points of 36. Movement speed is 30 feet.
Okay, normal.
Yeah, this thing's a mob of these. I'm already picturing a mob of these.
Yeah.
Strength, 11. Dex, 13. Con, 11. Intelligence, 10. Wisdom, 10. Charisma, 13. So their force of will is a little stronger.
Yeah.
So damage vulnerability.
Fire.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Will. Damage resistance. Bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks. Pretty cool.
Yeah. See, at low levels, that's potent.
Yes. Yes, it is. Damage immunities are poison. Condition immunities are... you cannot poison straw. Or can you? The straw will just be poisonous. It doesn't die or is hurt.
It is dead already.
It's undead straw. Dead straw? Straw is dead.
Straw is dead.
Straw
is
something that has died.
Yeah.
Okay, so condition immunities are charmed, exhaustion, frightened, paralyzed, poisoned, and unconscious. Can't be put unconscious.
It's a construct.
Okay, that makes sense. So senses, dark vision, 60 feet. Sentinel, passive perception is 10. Languages, understands the language of its creator but can't speak. With a challenge rating of 1, which probably is not super realistic with you're talking low-level stuff.
Yeah, but 1 at low level is really strong.
You're right. You're right about that. I'm just thinking back to the damage resistance again.
Yeah.
I think the fire thing could be fun because low-level characters learn, like, burning hands.
Oh, yeah. That's real, cool. Real, yeah. This is... This
a low
is,
magic problem.
This is a cool... Maybe two of these guys at levels 1 or 2, like in a field, as long as you do have a spellcaster with fire spells.
Yeah, or just like really high AC guys, I guess.
Yeah, that too, yeah. It'd be a tough fight, but it'd be a good fight.
Right. These guys could make for a good fight done right.
Yeah.
False appearance. While the scarecrow remains motionless, it is indistinguishable from an ordinary inanimate scarecrow. So when I'm playing games, I feel like it should be... These kinds of like abilities should be underlined and like honored, I guess.
Yeah, to a certain degree.
It's like, just like this is unbeatable by the dice, is what I think.
Yeah, I think so. I know they're supposed to be identical, and like I think they can be made to be identical. But like a lot of the art that you see of them, and a lot of the descriptions I've read of them, like, these motherfuckers got razor blades on their hands. That's not normal. You know what I mean?
I'm thinking, like, they can...
They
like
can hide
a,
that
like
magically?
Like a mimic. When a mimic is stationary, it can... You know, I'm mostly thinking, like, okay, this thing's going to Wolverine its blades out when it's time to go to town.
I like that. That's cool. No, yeah. I see what you mean. That's really
so,
cool.
So I think when you have... Because with the mimic, like, a player can be, like... The mimic says it's, like, indistinguishable. You cannot tell that thing's a door or, right. or a chest yeah. or other...
You, there's no way of knowing unless you know.
There's no way of knowing unless you put it there or, like, somebody told you
that exactly. That's you, a mimic. You have to know it was a mimic in the first place.
Right, and that I feel like that should go...
For
that,
the mimic, 100%. For this, I see what you mean.
I don't do a lot of hard... I don't do a lot of hard rules as a DM. Yeah. This is one I think I'm going to stick by.
And I think I can see why, and I like how you made it work for the Scarecrow.
Yeah, so the multi-attack is going to be the Scarecrow makes... two claw attacks, which is cool, like the Wolverine thing again. I'm getting some Peaky Blinders vibes.
I've never really seen it.
They're a gang in London, the Industrial Revolution. They take their hats off, those little paperboy hats, and they've got razor blades lined in them, and they blind the fuck out of people with them.
Shit.
So that's kind of cool. Just like,
do they swipe the hat itself?
They take the hat off and they swipe it across their face, the guy's face. Wow. It's like frisbee style almost. I'm picturing that. The claw is a melee weapon attack with +3 to hit, a reach of 5 feet, one target. It's going to do 6 or 2d4 plus 1 slashing damage. If the target is a creature, it must succeed on a DC 11 wisdom saving throw or be frightened until the Scarecrow's next turn. Which, that's really cool to like actually put the scare into people with the Scarecrow.
Yeah, you know, I like that.
That's fun.
It's pretty neat.
Terrifying Glare. The Scarecrow targets one creature it can see within 30 feet of it. If the target can see the Scarecrow, the target must succeed on a DC 11 wisdom saving throw or be magically frightened until the end of the Scarecrow's next turn.
Right.
The frightened target is paralyzed. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's got a lot going on for such a low CR thing. And I like it.
Is this, did we talk about a 4E like upgraded Scarecrow that I forgot about already?
No, we didn't talk about it, but 4E had 3 Scarecrows, and they all had, like, especially the Scarecrow Skewer and the Scarecrow Terrifier.
That's what I was I was kind of fishing for,
and
that
it had
sort
that,
of thing.
It had that stuff. I didn't write any of it down, though.
Because I like, I think I've seen art of these Scarecrows with, like gnashed teeth. So a bite attack would have been cool in here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But those are really easy to homebrew in.
Exactly.
A bite attack,
they are. And we've said that 100 times. It's easy to homebrew these creatures.
Yeah.
I always find myself tweaking monsters constantly.
Yeah, because these are, like, they're hand-tailored for, like, the caster or whoever made it. So I think it would be really cool to put, like, a personal touch of that.
Exactly.
Like, an insight into who this is and what they think is scary and shit. Like, one with, like, smiling, you know, a jack-o'-lantern Scarecrow with the jack-o'-lantern head having the gnashed teeth.
Exactly.
That's a cool look. The Wolverine claws. The swords as arms.
Right, yeah, sure.
But, too. You know, the sword is, I want to be clear, the sword is inside, like, the shirt with the hay. It's just, like, the stick you would use to make the arm straight. It's just
a
fucking bastard sword or something.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool.
You're there. You're there with me.
Alrighty. I think it's time we got ready for our long rest.
It's time to sleep, motherfuckers. Observe my feet, William, and be scared.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's just Wolverine down there.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be more thematic.
No, they're little, these are nice. These are nice slippies. A gift from Demogorgon. They are, it's just my feet wearing plaid shirt. So my ankle is like where the head of the Scarecrow would be.
Okay.
And then I'm kind of liking these vibes, you know, this kind of slippy.
Sure.
So the foot section looks like the body of a Scarecrow. So it's actually got little arms and legs coming off of it. And it's got this, it's I don't know. It doesn't have a face, but,
You
can tell
you are the face.
There are daggers in the feet of the Scarecrow. So my, my slippy foot has two little Scarecrow feet on it that are
they're razor bladed out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a weapon. That sounds like that.
Kick and stab. Thanks, Demogorgon, for the nice, comfy slippies.
thanks for the present.
These are also L.L. Bean, but they are... do you know what L.L. Bean is?
Nope.
They're very high-end slippers. They're like $60 for these slippers.
Oh, it's like a brand name.
Yeah, a brand.
Gotcha.
L.L. Bean.
Okay, yeah.
Because every time I go to make the joke, I'm expecting to get a kick out of you, but I'm not, and I think it's because you don't know what L.L. Bean
is. No, I had zero concept.
A lot of people might not know what L.L. Bean is, but if you look them up, sorry for the random L.L. Bean plugs, but I bought my sister.
Wish we were being sponsored.
I bought my, I know, right? Hey, L.L. Bean, do you
like
D&D?
We got a whole slipper section of the show.
Yeah, you can do a lot of stuff with the shit I've said. I bought my sister some LL Beans for Christmas one year, and she was like stoked about them.
For sure.
They lasted forever.
Are they like really good slippers?
They're hardcore. Yeah, okay, they make like moccasins and stuff, like that sort of thing. I think make lots of stuff. But what I'm trying to tell you is that these slippers are so fucking nice. The next thing we got to talk about is our contest.
Yes,
Rime of the Frostmaiden is over, but the same thing's pretty much going on with two revamped Curse of Strahd things modules.
Yes,
yep, you can get them. But you got to do stuff.
You do. On Twitter, all you have to do is share a link to an episode of one of our shows with the hashtag DungeonCast, so you'll be entered to win. I'll be drawing a name on Halloween night.
That's right, baby. And I'm doing the Instagram one. Tag a friend in the comments. One comment, one tag gets you one entry. So you can do it a bunch of times. The whole point is to spread the word about the DungeonCast or SuperQuest Saga or DD5 or whatever show that we make that you like to people that don't watch it yet that potentially would. You know,
Indeed. That's
the whole thing. That's the whole idea. So we just want to promote the show and give a couple of people out there something real nice to take a bite out of on Halloween night. I know it's a little counterintuitive that we're giving it out on Halloween.
I know. I thought about
it. Because the whole month is over and then you strut up. But like build up that Halloween energy and then unleash it all. You know, you're not going
to be fair.
You're not going to finish strut in a month.
No, you're not. Yeah, exactly.
You're going to finish Strahd in 3 months.
Six months. Like, I think I've seen a lot of people, that's their campaign for the year.
Yeah, you got to, if you're every 2 week in it or whatever, once a month, exactly. Scheduling things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a big one. It's a big campaign. There's a lot of cool stuff in the revamped, like we're giving away the special edition with the tin shaped like a coffin or whatever it is. You know?
Right.
It's got the new book inside.
It says Vamp on
it. It says Vamp on the cover.
It does.
Anyway, go to teespring.com and find the Dungeon Cast shop. Or if you want to look in the show notes below, it's down there.
Yeah.
And you can buy some merch, like the What the Grump
T-shirts
shirt.
And mugs and yeah.
If you don't know what the What the Grump thing is all about, go listen to episode 150.
Yeah, that's true.
Grumsh episode.
Yeah, the Grumsh episode.
So yeah, that's where that's from. All the things we say on the show. We're thinking about getting some new stuff. Oh, the Patreon exclusive item. We didn't talk about it, but it's on its way.
Yeah.
The art commission has been made and it will be here. So there will be a new, because the What the Grumsh art is a Patreon exclusive mug also right now. So this is like, it might be too late for when this episode actually airs for you to get the What the Grumsh mug.
Yeah.
I think you had to do it already.
It really depends
on when we get in there and make the change.
Yeah.
So it might not be too late. You can go check that out.
It's too late.
I think it is.
It's 100% too late.
I think you guys are too late on the What the Grumsh mug, but you can get a What the Grumsh t-shirt and you can go listen to episode 150. But we are getting a new Patreon exclusive item. It's going to be a hat.
Yes, it is going to be a hat.
With... Can we? We've already said it, right? I think we already talked about it.
Did we talk about it already?
Yeah, it's either on the episode that's airing today.
Okay, you go ahead then.
Yeah, it's the word indeed.
Well, it's more than the word indeed. God damn it!
Indeed, it is.
Indeed, it is the word indeed.
It's the word indeed on a hat. With our Dungeon Cast logo on it, but it's going to be really cool, like stylized. Yeah. Indeed,
it is. And are we doing the D20 thing with the TDC?
It's got a D20. Yeah,
sweet.
That's included in the design.
Right.
So it's going to be stylized. It's going to be cool looking. It's going to be brandable Dungeon Cast stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to wear one on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to get one.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people on the Patreon are excited for the re-up. If you are interested in supporting us on patreon.com/dungeoncast, there's a ton of bonus content in there. You can get all these episodes. We record them in batches of 3 at a time typically, and they will be available usually the day after we record them. They'll all be up there at the latest, but usually the day of that we record them. I've got them all, you know, the Patreon version of it up onto the feed. You get a special podcast feed that gets all those drops. You get access to our Dungeon Cast exclusive Patreon channel on our Discord. You get so much shit, live actual play comedy games. And then like there are obviously the merch tiers. So that's where you're going to go find all that stuff. We're going to do any Patreon shout outs next episode. So that's all I've got.
Yeah, sounds good. I think we can call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.